We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not.
No, it's not fun anymore, not even a little bit.
Just look at that, he hit the fucking ball. That gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. Little quick housekeeping before I get to today's episode, which is one I am very excited about. I actually already recorded it. Kenny Nybart and Phil Iskov from podcast Like It's 1999 joined. We talked about the sports movies of 1999. They'll get into it more in depth, what they do on their podcast, but basically they are breaking down the year 1999. And these two guys were two of my favorite people I've been able to talk movies with. Really fun conversation. It is a good year for sports movies, I would say, 1999, Any Given Sunday. I'm a fan for Love of the Game. I err in the camp of, like, that's still an all-star movie. It's got its warts, but still like it. Varsity Blues is that year. Mystery Alaska, which, yes, if you're listening to this podcast, you've been listening to it for a while, you know I haven't seen yet. I'm going to cover it soon. Might have Phil on for that. Let me know if you're a listener to this show. Let me know if you like Phil. I liked Phil. I think Phil would make a good Mystery Alaska guest. And then we don't get into it in this episode, but The Hurricane was released that year, which it gets thrown into sports movies, but I don't feel like that's a sports movie. It's like a legal drama, one might say. So fun episode. Really excited to have these guys on. Hopefully it's not the last time they appear on Big Screen Sports. If you are enjoying the show, please remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate, leave a review. You folks know the drill. On Thursday, I know I had said that would be skipping the Ted Lasso recap and making up for it in 2 weeks because I'll be out of town. Well, I lied. Me and Alex McDaniel, we watched episode 8, the Man City episode, and we, blown away, had to do something. So we recorded a quick episode. So we are going to have something. I say quick. We recorded a pretty normal length episode. It's going to come out on Thursday. So you're getting Ted Lasso this week. Congratulations. Lastly, shout out to our patrons, our producer level patrons, Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, and Kevin Frost. This podcast is not possible without our patrons. If you go to patreon.com/bigscreensports, you can support the show, vote on movies, patrons' choice topics. We're going to have a patrons' choice episode for October next week. The poll for the movie for November is up. I believe Love and Basketball is the early leader. So if you don't like Love and Basketball, go get a vote in. Or if you want Love and Basketball to be the pick, go run up the score. You get episode notes, everything that I've written down for an episode that doesn't go into an episode, you can see it. You can see it in the notes, and you get stickers. You get a nice thank you card and stickers. I'm actually a little behind on those, need to get some out. Shout out Kevin Frost and Mike Dreese. Those will be in the mail ASAP. But yeah, if you want to support the show, bigscreensports.com or patreon.com/bigscreensports. With that, let's go talk to Kenny Nybart, Phil Iskov about the sports movies of 1999. All right, joining me today, it is the host of Podcasts Like It's 1999, another movie podcast, and also a podcast like it's 1989 on their Patreon. It is Phil Iskove and Kenny Nybart. Guys, thanks so much for joining me on Big Screen Sports.
Thanks for having us,
man. Sure. Thank you for having us.
Of course. I want to get right into it with your podcast. Tell me about Podcasts Like It's 1999. Where can the folks check it out, and what are you guys up to?
We've been doing it for almost 4 years now. Kenny and I are covering all the films, some television, some music, but mainly the films of 1999, all the films that were theatrically released and a couple that weren't. But it's been a blast. You can catch us on, you know, wherever you stream podcasts, Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, or any of those various things. And our Patreon is at www.patreon.com/podcastlikeit's1989. As to how we came up with it, Kenny, how did we come up with it?
It was obvious. It was the obvious thing that anyone would podcast about.
Phil
and I are old friends and old, you know, old movie talking friends. We famously have only ever seen one movie together. But we would always get together and talk about movies, and, you know, it was more of a discussion about the historical place of movies and context and things like that. And you know, the discussion just kept coming back to 99. It really was a very formative year for both of us, and I think a lot of people around our age. And we just decided one day that we should do a podcast, and did it, which is, you know, fun. And it became like this, you know, I look at it as almost like a art project. Like, we're going to do this crazy ass thing where we cover, 400 or so films that were theatrically released in 1999, almost to see if we can. And we're close. We've almost done it, but it's really, you know, most of it is, it's an incredible year for film. From the highbrow, from your Magnolias and, you know, Talented Mr. Ripley's and Eyes Wide Shut, to, you know, it was a great year for teen movies. It was a really interesting year for horror. It's just a lot of really cool stuff happened that year. And then what Phil and I have noticed is, like, the misfires are just fascinating in 99. And we've seen a lot of misfires. So that's kind of how it came to be.
I think it also, it should be said too, and this kind of folds into what we're going to talk about today, but, you know, 99 was filled with so many subgenres that we just don't see today to the same extent. I mean, you're really getting, you know, anywhere from 5, sometimes 10, sometimes more than that, movies within a genre. Whereas today, as we all know, you know, we got a lot of franchises, and that seems to be sort of for, you know, for good or bad, it seems to be the thing that we're feeding. Whereas, you know, we're going to talk about the sports movies that came out that year, and there's a handful. I mean, way more than you would get made today. So it was fascinating in that way, and a real sort of fulcrum point for film in so many ways.
Yeah, the thing, and what we're going to be talking about today, the sports movies. I mean, 4 original sports stories, sports movies in 1 year is just
which
bonkers.
Which are the ones, Kyle? The mystery.
So I've got Any Given Sunday. Mm-hmm. I've got Varsity Blues, For Love of the Game, and Mystery Alaska. Now, For Love of the Game, I believe was IP. I think it was a book or something.
It might have been along those lines.
But Varsity Blues, just straight up, let's take a teen comedy and make it a football movie. Yeah. Any Given Sunday, let's give Oliver Stone whatever Oliver Stone needs, and let's look at the NFL. Mystery Alaska, and if you've been a longtime listener of this podcast, you will know I haven't seen it. I hear you, hockey fans. We are covering it soon. But, I mean, that's a movie. Some of these you could see maybe, you know, fringe Netflix movies now, but others are just like, it's not IP. It's not a franchise. Something could be, you know, you could see, I mean, we kind of saw what Any Given Sunday would look like as a series a few years later, Playmakers. Mm-hmm. And then the NFL was like, no, we're going to stop this.
Hard pass.
But, I mean, you wouldn't see anything like this. Something before we really dive into those, I want to ask you, with you guys on your Patreon doing 1989 mm-hmm. with, doing, I guess, 2 separate studies 10 years apart, What have you kind of seen the differences in those years? Like, are there any big standouts as to this is how things really change in those 10 years? Because we're still in like prime Hollywood. See, like, yeah, people are going to movie theaters. There's no, you know, yeah, there's no prestige TV. We're before The Sopranos. Sure. So yeah, what have you guys kind of seen as the big differences there?
I mean, I would say, just, you know, quickly, because then I'm going to pass this off to Kenny, who is far more, you know, plugged into this universe than I am. But I'll just say that, you know, the significant difference between 89 and 99 is kind of what you just said, right? Which is, in 89, people are really going to the theaters, or they're renting video cassettes, right? And there's really no sell-through window. No one is really buying content that they can watch at home at their leisure. You have no control over how you watch your content in 89. In 99, DVDs have really taken over. The DVD market is a really big thing. People are owning things. People are owning them immediately when they come out, and they're rewatching them over and over again. So the sort of that specialness that exists in 89 doesn't exist to the same degree in 99. But in terms of sports movies, I would say that, you know, the two big ones in 89 are two of Kenny's favorite films, which are Major League and Field of Dreams, both of which are two films that...
So Kenny is a sap.
The biggest.
You got to be a sap to like Field of Dreams. I mean, same. I love nothing more than a movie cry. So.
I think like my big revelation over the last year was Field of Dreams is my favorite movie, and that's it. You can call me a sap all day long, Kyle. But it is what it is. It yeah. is my favorite film. I just can't deny it anymore.
Do you think, Kenny, to connect it to 99 for a quick second here, yes, For Love of the Game is a Kevin Costner movie. It is a quote unquote sappier or more emotionally, you know, forward film. To compare it to Field of Dreams is unfair, but the comparison is there. You know what I mean? And I guess the question is more about whether or not could a Field of Dreams have been made in 99? I guess is my question too. And I don't know the answer.
Not a good one, probably, but like, you know, there's I you know, look, we haven't done For Love of the Game yet.
We have not
yet. And we are obviously gonna, you know, really get into it when we do. I think, yeah, For Love of the Game is one of the great misfires maybe of all time. It is a brilliant premise. It is a beautiful, brilliant premise. And concentrating on the story the way they concentrated on the story, you know, the story that they chose to tell. Yeah. Did not do service to the premise. I have obviously tons of thoughts about this. As a person who's constantly trying to sell sports movies and trying to sell sports shows, it's very, very difficult. There is generally one slot a year for a sports movie.
All sports movies is what you're saying too, right?
Like, all this is specific sports to movies baseball. Across yeah. all fucking platforms. Sorry, I don't know if you can curse on this podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
Across all platforms, there is basically room for one sports movie. There's, you know, there could be stuff that's like tangentially about sports, where sports plays a role, but a movie that's that would fall into this subgenre that we're talking about, one. And if you don't get that slot, you don't have a chance. Now with Ted Lasso, maybe things will change, or maybe they won't. You know, it's hard to say if the lesson of Ted Lasso is people like sports stuff, or if it's people like, you know, kind of big-hearted, protagonist stuff. And I think people are definitely leaning towards the latter on that.
Can I ask you a stupid question, Kenny? Because I know to your point stupid maybe in service the sports connection, but like, it seems odd to me that we don't make more of them. And I say this only because you have an immediate fan base, like a literal fan base. I don't understand the logic there.
There's like a floor for those movies.
You think, right? So yeah. Bizarre. You know, I really, really, I am like right in the middle of this, as you know, Phil.
Yes.
I have a sports film with IP that we are pushing a boulder up a hill with. Yeah. And I have two sports pitches, you know, one with IP and that, again, it does feel like we are trying to sneak in a side door. One of the biggest reasons you get for why sports movies are hard sells is the international thing, particularly with sports that aren't classically international sports, like your soccers.
I see.
you know, seem at least in the minds of kind of the executives in America, you know, seem to think a soccer will have an audience abroad, whereas baseball won't, football definitely won't, basketball might, but traditionally really hasn't in the way that basketball, the sport, does.
Right.
So that seems to be the main reason. And then there, you know, to your point about the floor, I think what people are, at least what people are feeling is the floor's low, like a lot lower than people realize. And Phil, I brought this up with heels, which is, you know, I mean, is wrestling a sport? I think wrestling kind of plays as a sport in the national consciousness.
Sure.
They're only getting, they're getting less than 100 viewers day of. You know, that's a fraction.
100,000, right?
100,000, yeah, 100,000.
Just to be clear, I don't want to say, you know.
That's a fraction of what Monday Night Raw does. So you'd think that you'd at least have those, you know, 2-3 million people who watch wrestling who would watch a show like Heels, but they don't, because they really are different things. You know, I think, and I don't mean to ramble, I'll close it here. I think with Friday Night Lights and Ted Lasso, what you have learned is the audience for a sports movie is different from the audience for a sport. I think what you hear all the time with Friday Night Lights is, I don't even like football and I love that show. Yep. You know, and I think that's true for you, Phil, more or less, right?
Yep.
So I think that's what we're working with here in terms of the current landscape. In 99, I actually think, Kyle, it goes even deeper than the four big movies, because you even have a movie like Play to the Bone, which is, you know, it's Ron Shelton. It's a boxing movie that, you know, doesn't get mentioned because no one remembers it. But yeah. That's a, you know, that's the master of sports movies, putting out a sport movie in 1999 that
doesn't exist.
Ron Shelton, first ballot Hall of Famer on this podcast.
Number one guy, right? Number one guy. The best at what he does. And then
you think about the sports movies of this past decade, like what's been successful. You think about Moneyball. You don't think about baseball with that movie, though. It's not dependent on baseball. It's about statistics and it's about this guy, basically. And it's
a system.
The same thing with the book. Yeah, the same thing with the book Moneyball. It's about a system. You look at, you know, the not successful, I would think, financially, not a huge movie, but I think of like Everybody Wants Some, probably my favorite sports movie of the past 10 years.
Sure.
For me, I think baseball is very important in that movie, but that movie is about a group of guys. It's like the same thing as Dazed and Confused. Yep. It's about a weekend at college. It's not tangential. You know, it's not about that sport. Could have been something else. High Flying Bird. It's not about the on court. There's very little on court in that movie. It's about, so sports movies are kind of changing the, you know, Kenny, you talk about Major League. There's not really any more Major League, because they're not making the rah, 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 underdog team, let's go win the title. That ship has kind of sailed. There's not really a market for that.
It's interesting because you bring up the Major League thing. My brain immediately goes to like an Adam Sandler. And then Adam Sandler does Longest Yard back in 2005, 2004, something like that.
It was a while ago.
And, you know, that movie did well, but you know what I mean? It didn't set the world on fire by any means. I mean, he does have The Water Boy. Like, he does have these sort of sports movies in his canon, kind of. But it comes back to sort of movie stars don't really exist in the same way that they used to, right? So they don't get people in seats in the way that they used to. I mean, Adam Sandler is, you know, notoriously on Netflix now. So it is just sort of this, I do wonder whether or not it's a mixture of a bunch of things, right? Like Field of Dreams is a star vehicle for Kevin Costner at the peak of his fame in a lot of ways, right? And Major League is filled with a bunch of pretty big people at that time. So it does feel like, I wonder if you need those two things. And Moneyball is another example, right? Like that's a Brad Pitt vehicle. Like, do you need these things to work in concert with one another? You know, do you need a star to make a sports movie work? I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but I wonder if that is part of it.
I mean, I think, you know, the interesting thing about Major League and right now and this moment is, you know, even everybody and anyone who watches Ted Lasso, the pilot, knows that that's a riff on Major League.
Yes.
My 9-year-old was like, oh, so it's like Major League. So Ted Lasso is about an underdog team. And, you know, interestingly enough, they don't win at the end, which
I love for a first season. I think that's a great way to build a first season. Yeah. I think using using relegation is the best, but I think that I think Ted Lasso kind of almost exists in that Venn diagram, that little sliver between Major League and Field of Dreams, where it's, you know, it is sappy, it is emotional, it is, you know, kind of, it's about connection, but it is also bawdy at times. It is also about, you know, male bonding. It is so
but the humanity of sports, as opposed
I'm
to
always, you know, of the opinion,
it's the humanity of people.
Yeah,
that show is about people. Human interaction as much as it is sports. Yeah.
I'm always of the opinion that these things, whether it be sports movies or romantic comedies or, you know, anything else, family comedies or anything else that we feel like people don't make anymore, you know, movies for adults, that type thing. If they got made and they were great, they'd find an audience. If Broadcast News got made tomorrow, they would find an audience. People would watch that movie. It happens almost every year where some movie or more often today TV show, but where some movie that just you don't think that people make anymore, or you don't think people like would get, just strikes a nerve and becomes a thing. Now sometimes that's a movie like Parasite, you know, or sometimes that's a movie like Promising Young Woman, like that feel like different and refreshing in their own way. But I think that quality, and I think you can make great sports movies that would really, you know, capture an audience. But
I agree, and you know, I keep thinking about Any Given Sunday, which was a movie I saw in 99. I know that Kenny saw it back then as well. We did an episode on it. And it was a movie that I didn't have the most reverence for going into that episode. Rewatched it. You know, we had, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank on his name? Xander Lehman, yes, of course, who came on for it. And it was a great episode, but it was also like, it gave me a whole new appreciation for the movie. Like, that's one of those films that I think does well at the box office because it comes out at the right time. It's got a big, expansive cast of a bunch of people that everybody knows. It's, I would argue, probably Oliver Stone's last, maybe his last good movie. And certainly his last hit, most likely.
Might be his last good movie.
That's almost the end of, like, Pacino does, I guess he follows that up with Insomnia, but then it's like,
yeah.
So Pacino does Insider the same
Insider year. Insider is the same year.
The two performances are incredible. They are the counterpoint to the idea that Pacino gave no good performances once he went crazy.
Well, I mean, Heat is amazing too.
Sure, like,
he's amazing too. He's full blown crazy in Heat.
Yeah.
But in Any Given Sunday, you've got a Mount Rushmore sports movie speech. Like that movie for me is tied back to that one scene.
The speech of inches, is that what we're referring to?
Yes, the inches speech.
So I think Phil knows this for a while. Any Given Sunday was my favorite movie we did in the first year of the podcast. Yep. Any Given Sunday remains one of my favorite movies. Before we did this podcast, I thought it was kind of stupid. And I also, Kyle, to the point we were talking about earlier, I think before we got on mic, there was some football stuff in that movie that drove me completely nuts when I watched it. But I actually think that Any Given Sunday, or a movie like Any Given Sunday, could be made again, should be made again. It's essentially what Adam McKay is doing every 2 years. And he, or someone like him, who has a bone to pick with the way we treat our athletes, particularly our, you know, Black athletes in this country, could really do something with a movie like Any Given Sunday. I think Any Given Sunday is a unicorn. I don't think there's really any other big major studio movie with a big budget that tells the story of professional sports right now the same way.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been another shot taken like Any Given Sunday since it's happened. We talked before we started recording, we mentioned Playmakers, but we've had this 20-year gap. Yeah. And it's with how popular, with the NFL is continuing to gain popularity, even though we know a lot of the stuff that Any Given Sunday was trying to talk about. We know a lot of that up close and personal now. We've had the concussion movie and we've had all this behind the scenes stuff. We know even more. If this was something I wanted to talk about, is like, if one of these comes out in 2021, one of these main four sports movies, Any Given Sunday, Varsity Blues, For Love of the Game, Mystery Alaska. Mm. If one of these happens in 2021, can any of these happen in 2021? I would argue that it would take a ton of weight behind it. Yeah. Stars.
Yeah, for sure.
It would have to be a major studio production, but I think Any Given Sunday remake or something similar would have the most potential. I don't know if anyone's green lighting a For Love of the Game. I don't know if that's like a fringe Netflix movie.
Sure.
Varsity Blues, same thing.
Sure.
Fringe Netflix movie that nobody sees and it looks terrible. But I could see an Any Given Sunday happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kenny's instinct is right that someone like an Adam McKay, who I would argue Adam McKay might very well be our new Oliver Stone in his own way.
Yeah, I actually think that he kind of is. Yeah.
Recording this the day after the Don't Look Up teaser drops.
Yeah. For better or worse, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Different
axes to grind than Oliver Stone, but like still looking to poke bears.
I could talk about those two guys. We should talk about them on our podcast.
We should. Yeah. But I mean, truly, I think that you guys are absolutely right that Any Given Sunday of the 99 films is the one that should be remade, could be remade with the right clout and the right person. Adam McKay could conceivably, you know, you just talked about Don't Look Up. That cast is insane. I mean, he could pull together a crazy cast. The thing about Any Given Sunday as well is they tried to get NFL to okay it. They obviously didn't. So it's a bunch of fake teams. So like, why the fuck not just make fake teams again?
I know something about this ecosystem because of what I've developed and what I've worked with in the past. So a couple of things. I mean, you're right to bring up Playmakers. Playmakers has scared the shit out of the industry for 20 years. So I had an animated movie about college football. I'm sorry, an animated show about college football. And before we even finished, you started to whittle down the list of the places you can't go. You can't go anywhere that has college football on the air. That takes out all the Fox networks, that takes out NBC because of Notre Dame, takes out anything, Showtime, CBS, takes out Paramount. Like, it's crazy where you, like, what you're left with at the end, because nobody wants to poke that particular bear.
We were texting about this the other day, Kenny, but a lot of this is about consolidation too, right? Which is that you have these major companies, right? There's like a handful of major companies that essentially run everything. So something is going to connect back to them and they're going to be like, yeah, no, we're not touching this. And it's just, that's part of the problem too.
The main thing is the NFL, like there are college football like that. And, you know, NBA as well. Like those are the ones it's just not worth it for them. So it's interesting that High Flying Bird is kind of the one in the last 10 years that exists, right? Because it is poking a bear. It is made by a company that has no sports on their air. It's shot on an iPhone, so they had no budget. And it's done by an iconoclast. Like, all these things kind of have to come. And, you know, people don't talk about it nearly enough, but like it did make a dent. Like all these things kind of have to work in concert for anything to come out that's not basically sports are great, which they are. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's just sports are
great.
Well,
I mean, look at our since Playmakers, what's the biggest, the most high profile fictional football movie we've gotten? It's Draft Day, which is
sports.
I mean, Roger Goodell gets cheered at the podium. I mean, come on. What are we doing with that, folks? You know, we haven't had someone try to do something like The Program at all. I covered The Program, I think like a year ago now. Program definitely has its faults. Not a perfect movie, but for what that was trying to do in 1993, I mean, you can't. There's no way that movie comes out now. Absolutely no way.
You know, Kenny and I did a Jerry Bruckheimer draft on Screen Drafts, the podcast, which was a lot of fun.
How big were the cocaine stacks?
it was a long. Well,
when
it
you
was
have
a
to get
haul,
through 40 movies, you know, you gotta take a lot of coke.
But I do think that
out of control.
Remember the Titans is a movie that I feel like probably could get made today because it has, again, very earnest. It's got the best of intentions for all intents and purposes. But I agree, like to make something that quite frankly has something to say about the sport that it's about is tough to do. I mean, not to beat a dead horse here, but like, Kenny just talked about how, you know, High Flying Bird is at Netflix. There's a part of me that feels like, again, Adam McKay could probably make it any given Sunday with Netflix.
He could. That's the only way it could work because Netflix also can weather the storm and Netflix eventually can offer, if they want to be involved with the NFL, they could offer 50% more than anybody else and NFL would just take it. But yeah, it's an interesting little ecosystem at this point that kind of, you know, for whatever reason serves as a censorship model. Yep. And it's unfortunate. But there are ways in. There are ways to tell these stories, I think, in a smaller scale. For instance, that movie Sugar.
It's a Mount Rushmore sports movie of the past 20 years. Sugar's incredible.
Fantastic film, somewhat non-judgmental, definitely showing how difficult it is for Latin American athletes to assimilate into American culture while not like damning the system in a way that basically is like blow it all up, but saying, look, we could do a lot better here. That's something we could do. You know, that's something you can do for, now, look, it costs a lot to shoot baseball movies, no matter what. But you could do that for under $10 billion, and you could finance those independently. So these things could happen. But again, no one saw Sugar.
I know. God, and it's so fucking good, too. I come back to Trouble with the Curve as the worst baseball movie of all time, and it sucks that. And it sucks. I mean, it's the worst movie of all time. But it comes back to Moneyball built up this incredible collateral of like, hey, we can make sports movies again. Like, it can be really successful. And then Clint Eastwood took all that goodwill and
pissed it away. Yeah.
And did that. So, but look at like, if we take this back to For Love of the Game, mm-hmm. is that something that could happen again if a star says, I want to do something like this? Because I look at For Love of the Game, and on one side, I look at the best, it's the best professional baseball has looked on camera in a movie. It is the Ramey's getting the broadcast, great, the incredible shots. Vin Scully, Costner is
looks like a pitcher.
Exactly. Costner has that feel. We get past John C. Reilly as a catcher. We can live with that. But then how they structure the story the romantic subplot that just does not work.
So let me give you my pitch for the 2021.
No pun intended.
For Love of the Game. No pun intended. Because I have a movie I would love to do, but it's For Love of the Game. It's the exact same movie. But before we got on mic, I was talking to you about my love for the 1986 Mets. Now, the 1986 Mets were, you know,
there was a lot of things being loved in 1986.
There were a lot of things that went on that year, right? A lot of stuff that you can talk about in the context of the movie. But the, you know, the heart and soul of that team, not really, heart and soul is not the right word, but really the the fire and brimstone of that team were Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. 10 years after Dwight Gooden in a Yankees uniform pitches a no-hitter or a perfect game. It was no-hitter, I think.
No-hitter.
Pitches a no-hitter. Now, Dwight Gooden is a guy who has 9 fucking chapters of stories you can tell about
9 lives.
About, yes, about his addiction, about his relationships, about his time, you know, as 84 through 86 as, you know, the next Sandy Koufax or whatever it is, about falling off in the late 80s, about coming back in the 90s, and somehow, some way, having this one perfect day. And I think that the under... Now, I'm not really going to write this because I do think it's too close to for love of the game, but you have a real-life story, you have a non-white protagonist, you have the structure that what I basically consider to be this ironclad, almost Malcolm X-esque 9-act structure that works with a character like Dwight Gooden. I think you can do something really cool with something like that. But that's my pick.
You have John David Washington right there.
Ready to go.
Athletic
guy. It does feel
a
little bit like it actually might lend itself better to a limited series, not to be the umpteenth person to talk about limited series, but I do think that
is that a thing that happens now? Do things get turned into limited series instead of movies?
Well, certainly with books. It certainly happens a lot more with books, which is a good thing because I think books don't necessarily translate well to film. Sometimes you have to cut a lot of shit, and they don't necessarily lead to 4 seasons of television. But I do think that this 9-episode structure that Kenny's talking about, the 9 innings, I think actually does lend itself quite well to a limited series of some sort. And I do think that for Love of the
All
Game,
right, Phil, I am going to pitch this.
Let's do it. Pitch it. Do it.
Kyle, how big is your is anyone going to steal this?
Your listenership. Is anyone going to steal this idea from Penny?
No, I don't think this is. I don't think this is getting stolen. I think you're pretty safe.
We do.
We got a safe space.
We do this all the time on our podcast where we pitch things out, and like literally at 4:00, Phil and I are
we're brainstorming
with our co-writers on one of the ones we do.
But I do think that for Love of the Game, to Kenny's point, is one of the biggest, and I'm looking forward to doing that episode. I'm looking forward to to rewatching it because I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It's a really fun movie to take a look at.
I'm excited to do it, but I do think that it is a missed opportunity, and part of it, unfortunately, does seem to rest on the shoulders of Kelly Preston in terms of what you're talking about. You know, had that role been given to someone that was perhaps a little bit more magnetic, I don't mean to, you know, rest in peace to Kelly Preston, but I do think that there is something there that is just not capitalized on. But there's a lot of good stuff in that movie. Anyway.
You know how good that movie would have been if that movie was made in 1979?
Sure.
The grit and the sadness and the, you know, the desperation of that moment would have come through in such a different way. And also Kevin Costner is too hot for that role. Like it should have been an old broken down man. It should have been like Harris in Major League, not him, but like a guy,
Tom Hardy.
No. I'm talking about someone who is like a virile guy.
Right.
Like more like a, it's going to sound crazy because I just said he's more like a Harrison Ford type character.
Oh, that's interesting. Sure.
Yeah, can't, Costner's too hot. Got to put Harrison Ford in there.
I got to put ugly Harrison Ford. No, it's more this idea of when Kevin Costner gets out of bed, I don't think his bones are creaking. It's that idea that I don't think he's going, ugh, when he gets out of bed. It's that idea. And the irony is, now I'm 39. I'm basically the age of, an old, crafty vet. But it's, that idea of, this some crafty vet who's putting, everything he has on the ball just to, get through this one last game. You know, I'm, as a Mets fan, a lapsed Mets fan, the last game I remember really watching and caring about, even before the World Series run, was a Yohan Santana no-hitter. Because we never had one.
That's my guy. We talk Twins fans.
Twins, yes!
Is my guy.
He's the guy. He's the best.
The guy.
So he's ruined him that game. We destroyed him.
You did.
Terry
you did.
Collins.
And he falls off the Hall of Fame ballot after 1 year, which is an absolute travesty.
Because of that one game. Because they put 130 pitches on his arm, and that was the end. It's that. It's that idea that this guy's arm is falling off after this.
You know who could be interesting? Bruce Willis.
Well, he's 100 now. But then.
No, I know. But yeah, then.
I'm yes, thinking that he, it's, yeah, yes, yeah. yes, it's Bruce Willis. It's exactly what it is. The thing with Costner in that moment is like, he kind of gives me like Maddox vibes, where it's just like he never really it was never that difficult yeah. for him. But it's more of like the that I mean,
I know what you're saying, because like that's part of the charm of Kevin Costner is that you never feel as though this guy had hardships necessarily, right? No. Like that's what you love about him. He just seems like a guy who's kind of coasted and it's worked well for him.
There were three famous Yankees no-hitters in the 90s. There was David Cone, who is Costner, who was going to have a no-hitter at some point, who was just, he was like an effortless pitcher, right? There was just no big deal with him. Dwight Gooden, who I mentioned, and Kyle knows where I'm going, and 450-pound, basically truck driver man, David Wells.
Allegedly blacked out when he did. It was a perfect game against my twins. Yep. Allegedly blacked out.
He doesn't remember.
He says he does not
remember. It's too far, obviously, David Wells, because no one would believe that Jack Black's throwing a no-hitter. But
well, that's like a comedy. That's like a comedy. The David Wells perfect game is a comedy.
But it's that idea that like some guy who's barely hanging on. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I like the idea that he rolls out of bed hungover. I like the mm-hmm. idea that it's, you know, it's Jake Taylor in the beginning of Major League, you know. Yeah. You could have at least said you were calling for the Yankees. But
yeah, it is really interesting. For Love of the
Sorry,
Game
Kyle,
is
I know you said we were gonna be pretty quick. We can't stop.
No, this is
but
is
I will just say that For Love of the Game does feel like a movie that I don't want to say is ripe for remake necessarily, but that concept was not capitalized on, and I look forward to Kenny's limited series.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, like for a long time, writers and producers and everybody were kind of just like reverent towards the Groundhog Day idea, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And no one tried that again.
Yep.
And now everybody does. Every fucking third movie.
Everything.
Like Palm Springs is Groundhog Day, and Happy Death Day is Groundhog Day, and not Happy Death Day. There's another movie.
Happy Death Day is that.
No, Happy Death Day is.
Well, Happy Death Day is Groundhog Day. There's another like teen horror movie that's Before I Fall is Groundhog yeah. Day, and then there's the Taye Diggs movie show that's Groundhog Day, and
Daybreak,
all these. Yeah. Daybreak was Groundhog Day. The Jake Gyllenhaal show movie was Groundhog Day. They do it a lot. Is the point? We could do this. It's time. 22 years later, I could steal this structure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, great. I just got to get Dwight on board.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just I feel like he's got time.
Doc, yeah.
I don't want to make assumptions about what he's doing, but I feel like he's got time. I want to leave with this really. Sure. If we had to leave one of these sports movies in 1999, let's not touch it. Don't want to see it again. Is it Varsity Blues? We've talked about it the least. I mean, that movie tries to do a lot, but it is very much a product of its time. It is the star of Dawson's Creek. It is John Voight before he goes full MAGA. It is Scott Kahn and his enormous head. A lot of things going on.
Yeah.
But it is,
as someone
it is
who
also
knows
endured.
Him, he's great. I'm sorry.
I love no one. No one loves Scott Kahn yeah. more than me.
Yeah.
But Scott Kahn's turned an entourage. Incredible.
I think
Varsity Blues is a meme movie now. I don't think it's something we do again.
I mean, and I would also say too that, you know, we have Friday Night Lights, which, you know, for all intents and purposes does feel like a sibling to it, certainly a heightened version of it.
An older, more accomplished sibling.
Yeah.
Varsity Blues like did a couple semesters at community college.
Yeah. No, 100%. For sure. Yeah, I mean, if you know, to run with the Friday Night Lights, you know, Friday Night Lights is you know, Taylor Kitsch and Varsity Blues is his brother Billy. But yes, go ahead, Kenny.
I love Billy. every once in a while, you have a situation where a movie will come out the same year as another movie, and it'll be left like movie B will leave movie A in the dust, mm-hmm. and that happened like to me. You know, in 99, there's a movie called The Ninth Gate, which Phil and I are doing very soon. It's a Roman Polanski movie. Sixth Sense comes out that same year, and almost immediately you're like, we'll never make a movie like Ninth Gate again. It's such a relic of another time, another idea. Like, M-Night has now shown us this is the way you deal with like gothic horror from now on. That kind of happened.
And then he has a perfect next 20 years.
Never looks back. Then you, that kind of happened with Varsity Blues. Varsity Blues is a very simple movie. Like simple, yeah. Simplistic. It's silly. It's, you know, it's no concept of its own toxic masculinity. But it's not terrible. It's not unfun. It's very much a 1999 movie.
And a 1999 teen movie as well. I mean, we covered a lot of teen movies in 99. And I feel like, you know, you can clump She's All That with the Varsity Blues. You can clump a lot of these sort of, you know, relatively...
It's American Pie, too.
American Pie, right? Is also there. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these movies are disposable in their own way. And maybe not disposable, but certainly relics of their own time. And I think to your initial question, this deserves to stay there. You know, we now have He's All That. And we don't need He's All That.
Right.
And
right. That,
you know,
can go back to 99 too.
Yeah. So it does feel like of the four that we're talking about, you know, we didn't talk much about Mystery Alaska. I know you haven't seen it. I know I'm probably the only hockey fan on here. But I do think that there's something kind of special and interesting about that movie. I look forward to hearing what you think about it, Kyle, when you do watch it. But I think that there is a small town sort of very human, nice drama that exists there. I liked it more, I think, than Kenny and our guest at the time, Bart Nickerson. But I do think that it's at least trying to do something. Like, it has something to say. I don't know that Varsity Blues is anything.
It's not. I mean, I think we kind of feel more or less the same, Phil. It's not super well executed.
No.
But it's a real charming idea.
Yeah.
And there's a lot there. I mean, you know, you sports movies, for better or worse, you know, mm-hmm. give or take any given Sunday, generally feel the same. Right? They all have that same kind of structure and the same kind of score and the same kind of actors embodying the roles. Mystery Alaska feels very different while still feeling like a studio film. And I like that about it.
Well, Phil, I don't want to be too forward, but I am going to be hunting for a guest on that one in the next 2 months. So, guys, listen. I would love to keep this going, but if we keep this podcast going any longer, I'm going to get fired. So, guys, this has been a real pleasure. Tell the folks again where they can check out your show, when episodes air, what's coming up next.
Well, we have our main feed, our 99s, drop on Fridays. So you can listen to those there. You can sign up for our Patreon, which drops on Mondays at www.patreon.com/podcastlikeit's1989. Those are sort of the two places that you know, you can hear us yammer on about movies and TV and such.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys stopping by. If you enjoyed this episode of Big Screen Sports, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate and leave a review if you're an Apple podcast. Remember, there is no Thursday Ted Lasso episode this week. Me and Alex McDaniel will double up on that next week, and we'll catch you next Monday. Thanks for listening.